stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. Fetch back. Away back. Yeah. She is gone.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome to another episode of 161st Street Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Rella, here with
Damon Romeo, back again. What's going on?
So we finally figured out how to do a little bit of remote access here. So Damon's going to be a lot more live, a lot more active. So what we got some great things to talk about here. Definitely coming off a little heartbreak after last night, but there's still a lot to love about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to consider it a heartbreak. I mean, it's.
I would consider it a heartbreak.
I mean, yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, going 1-1, and coming home for 3 games, it's pretty fantastic considering it's the second best team in the league we're facing right now. You know, it's great in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me that we were going to go out there and start out in Houston and split the series and then go back to the Bronx for 3 games, I'd be. And if you told me that the game we'd lose was the Verlander game, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably good. I'd be really happy. So,
yeah, I mean, of course,
the Grinke game we needed to win because that was the benefit of them going 5 and us going and sweeping, because then we get Grinke to start game 1 and hopefully get Grinke for possibly 3. I don't know how they're going to do it. I know we're planning on doing like the bullpen day, but
yeah, bullpen day on Wednesday.
Yeah, but I feel like they might do just the 3-man rotation, just flip it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, also I feel like you know, we have done bullpen days with great success over the course of the season, you know.
I mean, yeah, in bullpen days, weren't we undefeated?
Yeah, it was
like 20 something
ridiculous stat. Yeah, it was some ridiculous stat where we didn't lose a game, and when there's a certain sequence of pitchers, it was like was Ottavino.
It was Britton, Ottavino, Chapman, and Canley, or Canley Chapman. We were undefeated.
Yeah.
And I think in bullpen days, we have been also undefeated. I don't know the exact number, but it's clearly worked. And anybody who says that it doesn't work is just out of their goddamn mind and hasn't been watching the Yankees play baseball this year. So, yeah. I mean, a lot to love out of that. And I think we were talking before, me and Murph and Kev, and we were saying, like, that honestly, as much as it may not seem like an advantage, that's an advantage for us over the Astros, because they are most likely, they don't have the luxury of a bullpen that we do. And as weird as that may seem, considering we seem to get shut out by them yesterday, but that was uncharacteristic of them. And I feel like our ability to have a bullpen day gives our starters an extra day's rest. And we've seen what even Justin Verlander has done on short rests, and he got rocked in against Tampa. So, I mean, the luxury of having the bullpen day mixed in between gives us a regular, or as regular as it gets in the playoffs, of like a 5 days rest or like 4 days rest or something like that. And I feel like they're going to probably do the 3-person and rotate it. And if that's the case, we're getting Grinke 3 times.
True. But I mean, like that's also Grinke off of, you know, one, getting his absolute shit kicked in, and off the short rest too. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got Grinke at the most rest, and we rocked him. So if we get Grinke on short rest, I mean, it's gonna look like an Orioles game.
I mean, the one thing I am a little worried about with the bullpen day on Wednesday, I know that, well, I guess you could make 2 arguments to this, like on both sides, but we did use everybody in the bullpen yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, even with that, there's a lot of things.
We used nine people in the bullpen yesterday. I know a lot of people were like, hey, they came in for a batter or so, which is one reason why I'm saying you know, two sides of a story, because maybe it's good that they got like got the playoff jitters out for an inning or so. That's another way to look at it, because you know it's like someone like was a Wisega who.
I don't want to see that guy touch the fucking field again.
I know. I'm just.
He
saying.
Actually threw 9 balls in a row.
I know.
Let me rant about Loaizaga real quick, dude. Loaizaga fucking sucks. Loaizaga, I didn't want him to make the fucking roster, first of all. Second of all, yeah, drink your fucking whiskey. It's going to be a long rant. So Loaizaga actually fucking blows. And the fact that he came out there and didn't throw a strike until the 10th pitch or whatever the fuck it was. Boone literally came out there, and I think I tweeted it out. Boone literally came out there, and I was wondering what could possibly be said to Loaizaga from Boone. And he had to have been like, you literally missed every single spot imaginable. Like, yeah. there is nothing good. Like, you don't pat him on the back and say, hey, good job, buddy. You did good. No, you didn't. You did fucking terrible. You didn't throw a goddamn strike. Like, at least give us a chance to field it, you know?
Right. All I'm saying is I'm a positive person. It's like, look at the bright side of things. And
there's no bright side maybe, with Loaizaga.
Maybe, shut your mouth. Maybe it's just some jitters he needed to get out before he pitches another time. And maybe he comes out and just shuts the shit down. Now, this is a very, very slim maybe with a bunch of different variables, but I'm just saying it's possible.
Fuck Loaizaga.
It's possible.
Fuck Loaizaga. There's only one scenario where I want to see that guy touch the field, and it's when the game's over. I don't want him touching the field unless it is final and he cannot have an impact on the game.
Listen, I am agreeing.
He can high five everybody. I don't give a fuck. Like that, he can touch the field then. But if it means that the game is on the line or anything's on the line, all right. Actually, you know what? I was fine because he closed out game one and we were up 7-0. Game was over. That's okay. That's fine to me because we save arms. That's the only scenario where I want to see him again. In a high leverage situation, and I get it because we had to use him, you know? We had to use him. But I think that goes back to there was a little bit of misuse to me with the bullpen. I'm pissed off about Ottavino.
Yeah, me too.
Whether or not, I mean, yeah, he hung one and that's a home run. You make a mistake off the Springer home run. But I mean, the first time out, when was that? That was in game one, it was game one. Game one, he goes out and throws 4-pitch walk, also on Ottavino again. He's walking, but like the guy is the best pitcher out of the bullpen possibly this year in the entire majors. That's a conversation. Let the guy work.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's like, I mean, yeah, the guy had sub 2 ERA the entire season. It's not like he didn't pitch. He pitched, you know, close to 80 games this year. And, you know, in the 73 games, he had 88 strikeouts. You know, he was just like, he was lights out the entire time. And, like, you could not have asked for more of him. And I think it's kind of like the entire season, these guys have been playing their role, you know. Not once has Ottavino come in for a single batter. Not once has, you know, like CC Sabathia come in for relief for one batter. Like, I feel like sometimes this whole, we get caught in these playoff moments. Like, I know the whole strategy is different. I understand that. But I'm saying, you know, what we've done, shit works, you know. But I understand that, like, the difference in, like, the strategy with the series games and the playoffs. But I'm just saying, like, maybe these guys are just not used to doing that one pitch, these one batter innings, you know. It's not the craziest thing.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm reaching here. I'm just saying. I mean, how many of these people have been in a playoff game before?
I don't care.
I care. That's a crazy difference. I genuinely think that's a crazy difference.
I get it, but there's not room for error. I'm not here to sympathize with somebody who's never played in the playoffs. If you don't have it for the playoffs. Then you're not in.
I'm not saying that.
moving over to still the Ottavino stuff, I think there's a little bit of misuse with some of our better arms. Like, honestly, it's the playoffs now, and I personally, I don't know about you, but I want to see guys like Ottavino at least pitch more than 4 pitches in a Like, I let the guy work a little bit. He's a trusted arm.
That's what I was saying, 100%.
Yeah, but I'm saying with him, even I want the four horsemen. I want Ottavino, Canley, Britton, and Chapman. I want them to go at least two. Mm-hmm. Two innings. I mean, I think that's reasonable. Maybe shoot for two.
Yeah.
But Chad Green, I want to go three because he can do that. And it's the playoffs, so you got to push a little. Like, I mean, Eovaldi threw his arm off, literally arm off, because he didn't pitch this year. But, I mean, the guy like that, like, you want heroes like that. And especially in a game where Paxton gets pulled early, like, you can't be using guys as a lefty specialist and pull them out after one batter. Like, you got – because then situations like having an inning, like, in the 10th where – and especially in a series like this, you're going to have close games. So you got to plan for a tie game. Like, I could have told you that game was going to go in extra innings. I think I said it to the people. But
yeah,
if they used Ottavino for maybe two, if they used – or at least one, if they used him for that, Chad Green for – Chad Green threw well if he went for three. Canley went 2 1/3, no hits. Like, that was sick. That's what I want out of them.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, then you don't have to throw CeCe, Loaizaga, and Hap in one inning, first of all. That's crazy. And then Hap comes out again. Hap, I get it, but you don't even maybe have to throw Hap at all.
I agree. I think that this goes back to the whole thing I was saying before, where it's like this whole strategy is just not doesn't work. You know, it's not how this team is supposed to function, you know. But it's also like I think this whole thing started with, you know, the initial plan for Boone was to go Chapman two innings, right? He was supposed to pitch 8-9. Or 9-10, whatever it was, but he ended up throwing 30. He ended up throwing 30 pitches in the first inning that he pitched, and that just fucked everything up. I think he's been doing that like consistently, just throwing 30 plus pitches, 25 plus pitches per inning, and that's messing up the whole bullpen throw.
But he's one of our best pitchers. He's got to be throwing for a long time.
I know, but he was also lights out. So, but again, he did throw three innings. 30 pitches.
Yeah, and I want that out of everybody, and that's got to be how this playoff goes, because I don't want to see guys like, I mean, even Sessa. If that game kept going, Sessa would probably come in after Hap.
Yeah.
And Sessa is a little bit, I don't mind Sessa, but I definitely don't like him more than I do Canley, Ottavino, Britton, Chapman, and Chad Green. Like, those guys I need to go.
I get more scared when I see Sessa and the Wilds get warming up. Even like CeCe, when CeCe pitched, I was having an aneurysm.
I did not like that. No. If you told me that we would get out of that inning, an inning where Hap, CeCe, and Loaizaga facing the heart of the Astros order in that 10th inning, if you told me that they would get out of it unscathed, I would totally go fuck yourself. That is not that. How, I don't know how. I was looking at Kev, and Kev looked over at me, and we were all like loopy as shit because like that was just making us go absolutely bananas. Like, I didn't even know what to do. Like, when Britton, even like everything seemed to be going wrong for us. They were mowing us down, and they were just getting. We were walking all of them, and then I look over at Kev, and he's like. Like, just grinning and laughing and, like, how fucked up the situation is. And then he's like, we might get out of this. And I was like, no, we're not. No, we're not. And I don't know how he did. No idea how he did.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole pitching thing, I'm a little skeptical about. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean, on a positive note, these two series, the two games in the series so far, have proved that we can definitely match up with their pitching, which was a question mark coming into this series because, I mean, they were supposedly this like just dominating us, obviously, in the starting pitching category, but our bullpen's better than theirs. And I was saying that before. So I think as a whole pitching staff, we can hang around with them.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's also, you know, I think pitching for sure. I think, you know, it equals out in the end. I think we've both been using our bullpens a lot. You know, I think, you know, they used, what was it? They used like five or six people in the bullpen last night. But I think, when it comes down to it, it's we got to score more runs. I think it's like we are bullpen.
That's the name of the game.
I know you got to score to win, but I'm saying, you know, we bullpen, you know, three runs, two runs. One was the last one was, you know, the walk off. But, you know, if we're going to be winning these baseball games, we got to be scoring more than two runs. And I think, you know,
our offense definitely wasn't there.
Yeah. Especially our two big guys who have not been hitting lately is, you know, Edwin and Gary, you know,
which is ridiculous to me,
right?
I mean, Edwin he at least was there for the ALDS. Like his bat was arguably one of our best. And I have faith he'll come back, but Gary has done nothing for both series. And I know Gary can do it in the playoffs. He's done it. Like I went to the ALDS last year against the Sox and he hit those two home runs. One of them left the ballpark. And he just one of those players that needs to get hot. And we need him. We need him bad. And people are even talking about, like, I think, I don't know who it was, but somebody last night when we were watching the game was like, do we start putting in Romine for Gary? And
I don't know.
I don't agree with that at all, but at what point, if this continues, is that the case? Because Romine has a proven bat, and he can get a hit, and he's walked off games. He's got the ice. He's a great fielder. Like, I could see it in your face. You're not writing it off.
Well, because I know. Listen, I've always been a Romine fan. I think he's been an amazing backup catcher, could be a starting catcher on a lot of other baseball teams. He's a very, very clutch hitter. He's a very like get the job done kind of guy. And you know, he gets base hits and he's a fantastic fielder. You know, he's a very, very solid catcher.
He also hit a ding dong. We've seen him hit bombs.
Yeah, for sure. But and it's also you know, Gary Sanchez, when he's on, he's fucking lights out. I mean, he's a scary guy. He's supposed to be the scariest and the best hitter in the lineup going into this year. You know, everyone was like, you know, Gary Sanchez is going to be the best hitter in the lineup. He is like, he's not talked about enough. Yeah, when he's on. But the reality of it is in the past four games, he's had two hits.
I love Gary. I mean, he started the All-Star game this year. He when he's on. When he's not at all. We've seen him go into bad slumps, and I'm not taking him out. I think it's a similar situation to like the Didi situation, like with Didi, that was literally a conversation. We're like, are we going to start moving over Glaber over to short? Maybe Edwin at first, DJ at second, and Gio at third, and the very next game, lo and behold, he comes out and he hits that grand slam. And ever since he's been getting hits. I don't know the specifics, but I know I've seen him been getting hits. He's not struggling out there like Gary is.
Yeah, but also Gary has had a history of going through awful slumps.
I know. And
DD has not. He went through a slump and that was that. But Gary has proven to go through slumps.
So I don't know at what point. I mean, playoffs are all about the hot hand. The hot team wins it. So at what point do you experiment? Like, I'm not saying don't start him one game. I'm saying if he continues like next game, like tomorrow, if he comes out there and just starts out 0-for-3 and it's like the seventh inning, do you pinch hit?
Yeah, that was the exact scenario I was going to just say. And
like last night, that's what we were saying.
Yeah, I would probably say yes. If he goes over three in his next three at bats, and it comes to time where it's big spot in the game and he's up, I would strongly, strongly consider pinch hitting.
So wait, hold on. Who would you pinch hit though? Are you pinch hitting Romine? Or are you pinch hitting another bat and then putting in Romine after that? Because that's who's on the roster?
Well, I have depends who's playing in the outfield. That's really the only changes.
Well, then who's going to be on the bench though? Because we still have Stanton in an emergency, right? That's what they said. And Stanton, they're hopeful that he's going to come back for the next game. So that could be a situation right there. And Hicks too. And Maben would be possibly not starting. Like, it all depends. But I mean, the bats that we're gonna have on the bench, I remember posting 25 man. So we have Romine on the bench. We're gonna have Hicks on the bench, Maben and Stanton mixing in. I don't know. But those are the pinch hit bats that we're gonna have. That's on the roster right now.
Yeah. And I would probably go Maben or Hicks. I'm assuming. Oh,
it depends. Yeah.
I mean, if Stan's not starting, I don't know what's his fucking problem.
Are we really talking about pinch hitting for Gary Sanchez though? Like,
yeah,
that's.
I really am.
I know. I am too. I'm just thinking on face value. Like, would you ever pull the trigger on pinch hitting Austin Romine for Gary Sanchez?
No. I am saying pinch hit Gary Sanchez for a Maben or a Hicks or a Stanton, and then Romine go in afterwards, be that guy behind the plate, and then if his spot comes up again, Romine can just hit. That's what I'm saying. I think that's the way to go.
But Gary just has that thing about him that is like a Stanton sort of thing. So if Stanton's even if Stanton's off, right, he's still a factor that you have to consider. Sorry, my cat's fucking jumping over here.
What's up, Ghost?
What are you doing? Even if he's like so off, like he's still the fear factor. You know what I mean? Like the pitchers have to pitch around him because he's Giancarlo Stanton and he's Gary Sanchez. Like, it's the threat of him hitting a home run, and the ability to spit on balls and work counts and make pitch counts go up and stuff like that. That's what Gary brings to the plate more than anybody in the league, you know?
Yeah, but again, if it's a seventh inning man on second and third, two outs, and he comes up to the plate, I'm putting someone else in.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to work a count up at that point. There's no reason to, you know, it's that's the big spot right there.
I don't know. We're not the managers, but only time will tell. If Gary continues this, I'll give him an entire game, one more game, because I mean, the fans at the Bronx are not gonna have it. They're gonna start very soon, starting to boo him.
Yeah, but also I don't really think a lot of people are really aware of it because we've been doing well, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Do you really think the average Yankee fan is really going to say, oh, Gary Sanchez is really fucking up these days? Like,
the casual fan?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be realizing, it's Gary Sanchez who's not hitting or not producing, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I listen to podcasts, so you know how to stay up to date.
Yeah, but all right. So back to the pitching. I don't know if we talked about it already, but since they took out Paxton early, it does probably make him available for a future game in a bigger role or a closer game than he was anticipating before, because we were anticipating obviously 100 pitches out of him or something like that. But that's definitely a huge benefit that he is able to probably go. Maybe we could even move up his start. Who knows? I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think if whatever we can do in order to make him be that healthy starter, we have to always consider. So I think, you know, there's a reason we have, 12 people in the bullpen or something crazy like that.
We have 13 pitchers.
Yeah, there's a reason we have that many pitchers. You know, I think it's like everything is centered around, are these starting pitchers going to be healthy? Especially Paxton being the guy who is the most consistently lights out these days, you know.
I just looked it up too. Paxton only threw 51 pitches.
That's great. It's fantastic.
He went 2.1. He gave up 4 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 2 walks. Yeah. I mean, that's not even that bad of a line.
But do you think that then it's coming to a point where do you think he came out too early? Did that fuck up the game?
No, I don't know. I mean, Boone's been doing the short leash with a lot of people recently, and I agree with it to an extent. But like we said before, like, I also don't agree with it with the whole pulling of Ottavino. But I mean, that was something he was criticized for in 2017, like leaving people in like an inning too long.
Yeah.
And that is good. And with a game that's as close as, you know, this game was last night, like everyone matters like that. So I do agree with that, but
I agree with that too. Cause it's not like the bullpen completely blew it. You know, they did, they brought the game to extra innings without letting them score another run. You know, it's like, it was actually a home run, but I'm saying like, you know, in a grand scheme of things, bullpen did their job. So I wouldn't call that a stupid decision. And it lets him pitch, you know, his next start, his next outing on a fully healthy arm.
Yeah. So what do you think about that whole, I don't know if you, I remember you said you didn't see it, but the whole sending of DJ in the, when it was man up first and second.
Yeah. I kind of was dozing in and out because,
all right, yeah.
Work is tiring.
Yeah. So during that debacle, so it was man up first and second, and I forget what happened. I think somebody got a hit. I don't know what just happened. It was just playing some highlights in my ear. But it was somebody hit a ground ball to Altuve, and Altuve muffed it. And then after that, it like bobbled over, and Correa ended up grabbing it and hosing DJ at home. And we were all like freaking out when it happened in the moment. We're like, why the hell would he send him? Like, he was so hosed. Like, so like literally like 5-6 steps, he was like clearly out. But then they showed the replay, and my initial reaction was like freaking the fuck out. Like, why the fuck would he send him? Who's that guy on third base? But then I looked at it, and I mean, you got to send him in that. It's a 2-2 game, two outs. Gary was coming up next, who's clearly slumping. And right. I mean, and when you look at it, because when he's like waving his arm around, like sending him home, that at that moment, Correa wasn't even in the picture, and Correa ended up coming over after that, grabbing it and quickly throwing it home. So, I mean, seeing that, he sent it on like the sight of it bouncing off of Altuve's glove. Like, Altuve muffed it. And then obviously I'm going to send him too in a 2-2 game with two outs, 100%. Mm-hmm. So I'm not upset by that. I don't know what you would do, but you didn't see the play, but I'm definitely not upset by that because, I mean, you got to play to win. Like, that's an opportunity. Yeah. And you don't know what's going to happen with two outs. Like, I get it. You're going to get another batter to have a chance with bases loaded, but you have no idea what's going to happen. And you have an opportunity right there. Yeah, and it could have been an offline throw. It could have been anything.
Yeah. I think with, you know, again, with two outs, you might need to be a little weary about that. But then again, it is a struggling Gary Sanchez who's up. And I think everyone knew that. And it's probably one of the big reasons why he was sent. And like you said before, that throw needs to be completely perfect. You know, that throw needs to be on target, and unfortunately, it was.
That was a dart. Did you see the highlight? Yes,
I saw the replay of it.
That was a fucking dart.
Yeah, and like, you know, if they make that throw and it's offline, then there's a good chance he scores. So, you know, but that's what happens. That's why baseball is baseball.
Anyway. There's a lot of amazing things that we saw. We haven't even talked about the 7-0 win. Like, we fucking dominated them at home. We saw playoff Tanaka come out. Playoff Tanaka is clearly he's our ace, no doubt about it.
And who said that? I said that.
Agree with Kev now.
I said that. I guess. When we were first talking about who was going to be the pitchers in the playoffs, and you guys all shit on me for saying Tanaka.
Paxton was the hot hand.
I know. I'm just saying. It's coming off 10
wins in a row.
I know.
So, all right. So, somebody DM'd us. Somebody DM'd us, and they were saying, do you think Paxton is a viable option to pitch in the postseason? What do you think about that?
Wait, what was that?
Are you doubting Paxton's viability to pitch in the postseason?
No, I don't at all. I think he's still, you know, a reliable person. My thought was, and I'm staying true by it, and clearly it proves, is that Tanaka is the go-to guy. I want the ball in his hands when it's, you know, the game's on the line, you know.
I mean, he's just got it going on. I wanted them to bring him in last night.
Because he's got the ice in his veins.
Yeah, he's going to be our Nate Eovaldi this year, just to pitch all the time, as much as he can until his arm falls off.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, I think Tanaka's our guy. Yeah. For sure. And I think with Severino just needs to get his accuracy down a little better.
Yeah, he was a little wild last time.
But his stuff was great. I think his stuff was great. And overall, you know, he proved that, you know, getting out of those jams, those ridiculous jams that I literally thought we were just going to blow the game at any second. But, you know,
yeah,
he's got the mindset right. It's really just that accuracy he needs to get down.
I mean, yeah, he got himself into that bases loaded jam. And, I mean, we all talk about he got out of it, and that was awesome, electric. But he also did get himself into it, which is a little cause for concern, especially against a team like the Astros, who clearly will take advantage of any hung pitch by even the best, like Adam Ottavino, and Springer will take that thing a million miles per hour. So
yeah,
that's definitely a cause for concern. But Seve, oh, I mean, the main key for him pitching, he's pitching tomorrow, right? Yeah. So Seve versus Cole, I mean, the main key for him, definitely, like you said, the accuracy. And he's already got the strikeout stuff, and I think we just need to keep in control. So what do you think about now that Hicks is brought into the fold? So what do you think about him starting, him versus Maben, him versus Gardner, him versus Stanton? How do you want to use – our outfield has a lot of moving parts, and Judge is not one of those. Obviously, he's staying in right field no matter what. But the other four, for the most part, are – expendable, like they could be anywhere. So what do you think, what's your ideal start, if you saw the lineup, what would you want to see if you were putting the lineup together tomorrow?
Tough question
given what we know now.
Yeah,
with all the health concerns, whatever.
Yeah, I'm putting Gardner left, Hicks center, Judge right.
So what are you doing with Stanton? Because they said they're optimistic about him. So assume that it's his quad too. So hopefully, I mean, he's probably going to end up being a DH. We're trying to pick like the better of two evils with the injuries too, because like it's almost like a Frankenstein sort of thing. Like you're picking the guy who can run. So Hicks has a injury in his arm, so we're going to throw him in the outfield because he can play out there. And Stanton has a leg injury, so he can DH.
But it's also like, okay, if the DH is really up to at this point, it's going to be, if Giancarlo can play, it's going to be him and Edwin, right? And who could
we pick in there?
Well, saying like who could run faster, Giancarlo with a shitty leg
with the strained Edwin quad, or Edwin with his fucking fridge on his back?
Yeah, like. It's really like, what are you going to do? And both of them are, I would say, hitting roughly. I mean, you know, Stan had that bomb, and Stan's always that guy who can just fucking hit a bomb. But I've never been a big fan of Stan. I never really thought he was the most amazing, you know, pickup in the world. But like, I'm not fully convinced on Stan.
Pick your lineup. Who's your outfielder? Right. And DH.
Right. All right. I'm saying Gardner in left, Hicks in center, Judge in right, and we'll keep it with DH with Edwin. So I think Edwin can turn around. I don't know if Stanton can really turn. Stanton hasn't played at all this entire season.
I mean, I get it, but he did just come back, and he's spitting on balls, working walks, and he hit a home run. So, and he also is that Giancarlo Stanton, like I said, with Sanchez. So he's like, you got to pitch around him. It's Giancarlo Stanton up. Everybody knows he's a
yeah, yes. Yeah, but he also has a pitch around
Edwin Diaz.
Edwin Encarnacion. You guys have a pitch around him too.
Edwin Diaz.
You know why I said that? Because Edwin Diaz just flows off the tongue better. And once I started saying Edwin, Diaz just came right off my tongue.
Yeah, Edwin Diaz's balls usually fly off the bat quicker too. He's been fucking terrible this year. Here's the daily fuck the Mets. So let's just make sure they're a little in our mouths there.
Do you know how many at-bats Stan has had this season?
If I had to guess?
Do you know? So guess. Please guess.
I'm going to guess.
All right.
51.
Wow. Really, really, really close. It's 59.
Wow. I mean, he only played, like, what, 9 games?
I'll divide that by 5.
Whatever it is. Yeah, but yeah, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah,
I know. Small sample size, like Murph likes to say, but I mean, regardless.
And Edwin had like, over 400.
I get it.
At-bats.
All right, so you've convinced me, and I'm going to do exactly the same thing. I hate to pick the exact fucking thing, but I definitely agree with Hicks in center. Have you seen the guy can play outfield. He's our best center fielder. He patrols center, that Hicks catch, like, nothing
also,
else. He's got a hose.
Also, Hicks, every time he's injured, which isn't a crazy amount, but when he's injured and he comes back, there is no sign of him slowing down. He always comes back.
Until he gets started again.
Right. What I'm saying, every time he comes back, he is just like he never left. And that's why I love it. And that's why I have no hesitation to just put him out there.
And you know what? And comparing him to Stanton, I feel like Hicks genuinely just – he'll play hurt. Like, he wants to play. He wants to play so bad. Like, everybody was shocked by that news when he came back. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, Hicks is done for the year. Oh, by the way, we have Hicks. And when the ALCS 25-man came out, like, oh, Hicks is on it. And he comes in, he hits the ball. He hits the ball last night, which is something that a lot of people didn't do last night. And he dug it out. He ran fast. I mean, his injury isn't in his legs. So, I mean, I'm going to definitely go with Hicks in the center because he's a fantastic fielder. Switch hitter, too. That's a lot. That gives us a lot of flexibility with making the lineup with the lefty righties, too. I know they like to spread it out. And then I'm going to definitely go. I mean, I don't know. It's either Stanton in left or Gardy. And I think if I want an outfielder, it's going to be Gardy. And Stanton has showed he's not really that good in that fielding out there. And the benefit here of picking Edwin as the DH is, like we said before, to circle it back to the Sanchez thing. If we do decide to pinch hit for him, Stanton's that pinch hitter. And then we can move Stanton out from the pinch hitter role and then have Romine finish the game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, yeah, I agree with
that. I could definitely see all of that. I'd definitely be happy about that.
Yeah. But, like, at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the lineup, LeMahieu, Judge, Torres,
those three people
are so scary.
Yeah. I mean, we even talked about it. One through nine were unbelievable, but, like, and the top three is, like, I was even saying before, like, we don't really have a top of the order, but we so do because they're just that much better. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not a downgrade going to the other part of the lineup, but, like, having that top three, I need that injected into my veins all day. Like, it's amazing. DJ gets on, Judge hits a home run, and if he doesn't, Glaber does. Or he hits one of those classic line drives down the third baseline, and the stadium erupts.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I'm going to just throw someone out there. I'm going to completely change the topic because I've been thinking about this all day, and I've been waiting to just rant on it. But I just fucking hate the Astros so much. And
yeah, I'm starting to hate them.
I'm going to ask you this, dude. Do you think we just drill Correa as first at bat?
I know Chobani was talking about it in the group chat, but I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. And I think if we had a brawl, that would start a brawl for sure. For sure, that would start a brawl. And if we're in the Bronx, I know I'm taking us over anybody in a brawl. So that's also a good thing. We're going to be in the Bronx. Or protected. I mean, I drill Correa. He didn't do anything like unwritten rule breaking, anything like that. But like, there's literally no reason to. He hit a walk off. Like that'd be actually so soft if we did that. But
no, what I was really just saying that was 100% a joke. I was really saying because I saw like Bregman on Twitter and he was like, you know. There's no way that series is going 0-2. There's no way we're going to win that game. Like, fuck off, dude. All right, we kicked your ass. Yeah, we kicked your ass in the first game, and it took you 11 innings to beat us by one on a fucking home run at home. So fuck you. We'll see you in the Bronx. Yeah. Don't get fucking jumped.
But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Judge goes out and says, like, I mean, there's no way we're going to lose a game at home.
We can
end the series in these three games.
Yeah, cool. And then we fucking win.
I'd sign me up for that. I mean, all right. So let's start wrapping it up. So previewing the next game, at least it's Seve versus Gerrit Cole. I think if anybody in this entire league can get to Gerrit Cole, it's us. The guy's good. Don't get me wrong. He's probably the best pitcher this year. But if anybody can get to him, it's us. And I think we can definitely expose him. And a lot of people are looking at it like as a matchup, like, oh, how is Seve going to beat Gerrit Cole? He's not beating Gerrit Cole. He's beating the Astros lineup. He needs to just put up his numbers, and we're going to face Gerrit Cole on the offensive side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
fucking it's just stupid. Like, but a big key for Seve is, like we said, the control, but he needs to get length. And that goes hand in hand with the control, but he needs to stretch it out a little bit. Because especially if we're doing a bullpen day on game four, we need him to, we can't have him get pulled.
Yeah. 100%. He needs to be, he needs to be lights out. He needs to be accurate. He can't be throwing, he only threw four innings last game,
I know. And we can't do that again. He needs at least five or six, and that's asking a lot, but it's the playoffs.
Yeah. And at this rate, we're going to be throwing, if he only throws four, then we're going to see another five or six people coming from the bullpen again. And it's going to be another one of those like long bullpen games,
and especially if he goes extras.
Yeah, especially if he goes out, you got to plan for that kind of stuff. So the key to this is he needs to go. I think he needs to go 6-2. Like
we need him to go six.
Yeah, he needs to go six, and that's a fact. He cannot go less than that, because then the whole entire bullpen, the whole entire is going to be fucked up.
And so let me ask you.
We need to kick Cole out and
yeah, we need to work the count, get his pitch count up.
Yeah.
But let's say Severino does go six and we use for the final three innings, or barring it doesn't go to extras, he does go six. We have three innings of a bullpen to throw. And like if he gets pulled early, we use the bullpen in that game. And then what the hell do we do in the bullpen game? Like, we're going to be seeing a lot of the CCs and Lasagnas and Haps and Sessas. And like, I don't want to see that against the Astros.
Is Paxton a complete no-go?
That's what I was going to ask you. It's like,
even if he threw 50?
I mean, look at what Strasburg and Scherzer have been doing. They're coming out. I mean, Scherzer, he's a psychopath, but he's also a human. So he's coming out there, and he pitched on one day's rest. He came out in the pen and then pitched the very next game, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need a little bit of that. I mean, he's crazy, but, like, we need some of that. We need Paxton to, like, nut up or shut up, and then we need him to come out and fucking not be a mental midget. I mean, Paxton's good, so if he comes out and he throws in the bullpen day for two innings, and then we get Tanaka the next day, and then we get Paxton on shorter rest. But like, I mean, the timeline here.
The key to the game on Tuesday is low pitch count for everybody.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the case, but
yeah. All right, fucking Einstein. I know, but I'm saying, last game when Severino pitched, it was Severino, Kainley, Ottavino, Green, Britton, Chapman, and that worked out pretty phenomenal, And I think if Severino, but that was also Severino only pitching four innings, but if Severino can go six, and then it's like, obviously. In a perfect world, we put up a six spot and we can throw fucking Loaizaga and CC, and they can just fucking blow their arms out for the rest of the game. That's in a perfect world. But, in reality, it's probably going to be something like what it was before, where it's Kainley, Ottavino, and then hopefully a Britton or a Chapman, and then we save Green, and Green can start on Wednesday.
Yeah. All right. I think we covered a lot, a little bit of rants in here, but closing comments for me. I'd say Stanton is made of glass and he needs to fucking nut up. He needs to grow up. He needs to play baseball. And if he's not, then I don't want him on this team. If he doesn't play now, then get the fuck off the team. And I also wish the Astros still had that Hill in center field. Because if they had, remember they used to have that Hill like 3 years ago?
Yeah, I know. It was fucking awful.
Yeah, I loved it. If it was there, because we had a lot of balls to center field, they would have tripped every single fucking time. Springer would have tripped every time up that hill.
We would have fucking tripped too.
Nah, not with Hicks.
Yeah, all right. You can see Hicks diving and just fucking putting his back.
Whatever. I just wish they had the hill. It'd be funny. Because for last game, at least. and also, one more thing is the that Gio catch was unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I literally missed that guy so much.
He literally told, because Bregman did it the night before, he was like, anything you can do, I could do better.
Yeah, that Bregman catch was sick.
Was sick, too. But that was fucking dope. Gio just was like, hey, listen, I could do that fucking, too.
Yeah. I think the rest of the series, Gardner, Edwin, Sanchez, fucking get it together. Start hitting baseballs until Tuesday at 4 o'clock and don't stop because you need to get some hits and help this team out. You know, this can't be the fucking New York Torres's, you know, this has to be a fucking a team effort. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is just pitch countdown and fucking when it comes to the Bronx, everyone is listening, including us. Let's fucking push them out of there.
Yeah, I'm glad we're going back to the Bronx. We got a lot of good things coming, and I think we can win the series. Right now, we can end it, and we won't have any more of that fucking roof that was at. It's like playing at the Trop. Hits the roof, and then like you have no idea where it went. It got lost.
Yeah.
It was going to be a pop-out, and then hits the roof, and they're like, oh, it's out of play. At least it was out of play there when at the Trop it's an out, or it's in play, and it hits somebody, the shortstop can come over and get a home run. You just catch it, just drops in their glove. That's happened to fucking Frazier before.
Oh, yeah. That Frazier's a different story. But, yeah, that's it for me. I'll see you at Billy's at 6:30 on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll be at the game, so we'll give them hell. This was 161st Street Podcast, another episode. Definitely hit that rate us 5 stars. Helps us out, makes us do it a lot more. Definitely subscribe to our podcast so you get the notification when new episodes come out. And make sure to follow us if you aren't already. You probably are because that's how the fuck did you find our podcast. But make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. We have a YouTube page. Might make a fucking TikTok. I don't know. But, yeah. MySpace, anything. But
you got me on WhatsApp.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go Yanks. Let's turn the page back to the Bronx. I like our odds.
Hell yeah. We'll see you there.
See you there.
Shall bring disaster to evil factors. Demonic chapters shall be captured by kings through the storms of days after, and to the earth from the sun through triple darkness to plaster with a force that can't be compared to any firepower, for its mind power shared. The brainwave causes vessels to circulate like constellations reflect at night off the lake. Word to the father and mother earth, seek an everlasting life through this hell for what it's worth. Look, listen, and observe, and watch another sea cycle pulling my peeps to the curb. Heed the words, it's like ghetto style proverbs. The righteous pay a sacrifice to get what they deserve. Cannot afford to be confined to a cell. Brainwaves swell, turning a desert to a well. Experience the best teacher. Thoughts will spray like street sweepers. Little daddy street preacher. Illustrious feature. Narrator you select. Accompanied by Deck plus the DJ you respect. 7.5 combined over the front line. The 10% is.